Romans 15. Title of the message, Put the Good of Others Before Your Own. That's really been the theme of these last several chapters. As we've seen Paul addressing the strong and the weak. We've got two points. Man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. We as particular Baptists, as Reformed, as Calvinists, get blasted that we are fatalistic in our theology. But we are not fatalistic. Though God determines all things, He still gives you and me responsibility. Responsibility is a much better description than free will. As Luther said, and as I've piggybacked on Luther, you and me, as fallen creatures, have a bonded will. Our will is in bondage to sin. Even as believers, you and me are still, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, subject to struggling with that old man. And so though we are free, and though we are at liberty, there's still a part of us, because we live in this fleshly body, that is bonded by our sin nature. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We'll read all six verses. Paul begins with the plural we, identifying himself with one of these factions. We then that are able ought to bear the infirmities of the unable, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we go to the Lord in prayer, think about the responsibility that you and me have within the body of Christ toward fellow brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. Not just for the privilege, not just for the opportunity, but for the responsibility that you've given us. Lord, you could have easily saved us and taken us directly to heaven. And we could have avoided a lot of the pain, suffering, and death, and struggles. That we've experience as believers. But you didn't choose to operate that way. You could have called us and physically set us apart. Placing us in some sort of monastic life where we would be removed from the encumbrances of the world around us. But that was not your choice. Rather, you chose that although we are not of this world, to leave us in this world. Because we are your chosen means of proclaiming the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would place upon our hearts the recognition that proclaiming the gospel is not limited to evangelistic efforts, but that even we as believers need to hear the gospel daily for our sanctification. Lord, help us to grasp the responsibility that you place in our lives and in our hands. And move us to be the people that you called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul began this section with the plural we, showing agreement and identity with the strong in Rome. Building upon the section that Eric preached last week and the section that I preached the previous week, Paul labels himself and those who share in his understanding. You'll notice that as I was reading, I didn't use the words that were in the text, which are strong and weak. Rather, I used able and unable. When Paul wrote this writing in the Greek, he uses the words dunatoi and ad dunatone. Dunatoi comes from the same root as dunamis that we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew and to the Greek. Dunamis is the word from which we get our word dynamite. Dynamite, though it comes in small packages, has immense power. And though the gospel is given to us in this one book, it has immense power. Though Jesus wrapped himself in flesh in the incarnation, he showed that he had authority over creation. The meaning of dunatoi powerful or able. Paul describes the others. Your Bibles say weak. As a dunatum. Now in Sunday school, we discussed what that prefix a means. It's a negative, isn't it? So those who are dunatoi are those who are able. Those who are a dunatum are those who are unable. They were unable to grasp the truth and the extent of the gospel in their lives. Specifically, with regard to food, to days, and to drinks. Remember, this is a congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles. So those Jewish Christians still held to certain days. Perhaps they were holding to the last day Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath. And they were troubled by the Gentile Christians not holding the Sabbath. Or perhaps because of Paul's linking the day with food, it's some of those feasts and festivals within the Jewish calendar. We don't know exactly what the day was, but clearly it was a day that Jewish Christians, whether it was the Sabbath or one of the festivals, held dear in their heritage. And of course, we know that Jews have very strict dietary regulations. Certain foods are kosher, and other foods are unkosher. Peter, before God sent him to Cornelius, saw the vision of this sheep coming down from heaven, and all of these beasts coming down with that sheep. Peter had gone for some hours without eating. And being in the Spirit, he hears, "Kill, eat." And he says, "No, Lord. I've never eaten anything that was unclean." And what did God say? "Do not call unclean what I have made clean." And so, very likely, there's a tension between these brothers in Christ over what's clean and what's unclean. Not in the text, but a practical application for us today would be the tithe. Some people feel compelled to tithe. Other folks don't feel compelled to tithe. Rather, they feel compelled to give as they're able, to give liberally from their hearts. Who's right? Who's wrong? Paul would say, if you feel compelled to tithe, then by all means tithe. If you feel compelled to give as you're able, liberally from your heart, then by all means give as you are able, liberally from your heart. Only let each be fully persuaded in his own mind. And how are we fully persuaded? From Scripture. The strong ought, must. We don't see Paul weakening his message, saying you should do this, but he gives a clear mandate. You ought, you must. If you are strong in the faith, if you're strong in the Lord, then you must build a bridge. You must extend the hand of fellowship. Support bearing the burden of your brothers and sisters in Christ. The strong here would appear to be the Gentiles. And interestingly enough, Paul, though he was the Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees, he identified himself with those Gentiles who are strong. And he distinguishes himself from those Jews who are holding to days and foods and drinks. And he says to the strong, you must build a bridge. What's he said previously in chapter 14? If it causes your brother to stumble, don't do it. Though you have liberty in Christ, your liberty is not an excuse towards sin. And though it may not be sinful for you, the fact someone else may perceive it as sin, then it is sin. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, the first six verses. Brethren, if a man be overtaken, let's face it, if you're overtaken, you're in weakness. If a man be overtaken in weakness, in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. It doesn't say gossip about the one who's overtaken. Doesn't say shun him. But it says, you who are spiritual, restore him. Because at this point, the indication is that the man who's overtaken is still a brother in Christ. And as a brother in Christ, you have a responsibility for your brother. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoiced in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Every believer must refuse to please himself, love one another. Remember a couple weeks ago, Romans 13, another and another. The King James uses another twice. The Greek is alleluos and hetera. Love another of the same kind. And then love another of a different kind. If we don't have love going on for another of the same kind as brothers and sisters in Christ, how can we love another of a different kind, those outside these walls? We cannot love the world if we don't first love another of the same kind. Verse 3, we see Christ's affirmation. Chapter 15 of Romans, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, Psalm 69, that Eric read earlier, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Jesus faced the same problem that confronts you. Let's not make the mistake of the Gnostics. Let's not make the mistake of those early errors that tried to creep into the Lord's churches. yes, Jesus was fully divine, He was fully God, but He was also fully man. He had to be fully man so that He could die. He had to be fully God so that He could be raised again. But He was fully man. Jesus was tempted. He was tempted far more than what we see in the Gospels. When the writer of the Hebrews says, He was tempted in all things like you are tempted. So when you face temptation, you're not alone. Jesus was there first. He was tempted in all things like you and me. But He was without sin. What distinguished Jesus, the second Adam, from the first Adam, is that whereas the first Adam sinned, Jesus, the second Adam, was victorious. Amen. Jesus accomplished what the first Adam did not. Both were sinless. But only Jesus remained sinless. Christ's response in His humanity was submission to the Father. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. John chapter 8, verse 27. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Paul wrote in Colossians that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. For that 33 years in which Jesus was wrapped in flesh, dwelling amongst us, He laid aside intentionally the glories of being the second member of the Godhead. And in His humanity, He submitted Himself to the Father. If Jesus can submit Himself to the Father, how much more do you and me need to submit ourselves to the Father? Pursuing God will arouse the passions of sinful men. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 25. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this has come to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Mark Cox, one of the elders of Sovereign King Church down in Jeffersonville, shares that whenever they go to do street preaching, either at the abortion mill or at one of the pride festivals, that he'll no more give his name out. Hi, my name is Mark. And somebody will launch an attack on him. Why are you so hateful? Really? Just introducing myself has become hate speech? But when the world knows that you and me are present, and that you and me will not remain silent, then they will hate us. If all we do is place our light under a bushel, the world won't hate us. But when we place our light on a lampstand, prominently set in the room, so that everybody in the room is exposed to the light, then the world hates us. Because darkness hates light. Because light exposes evil. Instruction and edification. Chapter 15 of Romans, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Your heart is not your God. Scripture is your God. You can hide His Word in your heart so that you might not sin against God. But your heart, untrained by the Scripture, is deceptive. Scripture is your guide. And Scripture must train your heart. Your heart must submit to Scripture. The early church is dependent on Scripture for redemption history. Those early Christians here in Rome didn't see themselves as just sprouting up out of nothing, but rather they recognized redemption history. They recognized that what they were experiencing, what they were participating in, was the promises that had been given to the patriarchs. They recognized that their participation in the gospel was fulfillment to Abraham, that through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The Jew, and in many cases the Gentile, revered the Old Testament from their days in the synagogue. Do you know what the advantage of the synagogue over the temple was? The temple was sectioned off. You had the court of the women, you had the court of the Gentiles. You had the outer court, the inner court. You had the Holy of Holies. But in the synagogue, there wasn't any of that. The synagogue was a place where Jews and Gentiles sat next to one another. And there was an equality in the synagogue that did not exist in the temple. And those Gentiles who were exposed to the Old Testament scriptures, either as proselytes or as God-fearers, came to revere the Old Testament. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 48. Acts 13, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation at the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. When Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God of salvation, put to the Jew first and also to the Greek," that was played out practically and visibly in his ministry. In every city, with the exception of Philippi and Athens, he went to the synagogues. Because in the synagogues, both Jews and Greeks came together and heard the scriptures. And he spent as much time in the synagogues as the Jews would allow. And the Jews would hear him no more. When the Jews persisted in their blasphemy, the Gentiles were grateful. And they rejoiced at the hearing of the Word of God. Oh, that you and me would have the joy of hearing the Word of God like those Gentiles in the synagogue. Everett Harrison says, "The use of Scripture promotes endurance and supplies encouragement." The use of Scripture promotes endurance and supplies encouragement. Endurance and encouragement are God's gifts. Endurance and encouragement point to God's side. You and me have responsibility for one another's brothers and sisters in Christ. But we rest in God's side. He is the one who makes you to endure. He is the one who provides your encouragement day in and day out. He mediates this gift through His Word. How do you persevere? Persevere because God preserves you. Jesus said, "All those that the Father has given me will come to me. And he who comes to me, I will in no manner cast out." Have you come to Jesus? Guess what? God gave you Jesus. And Jesus will not cast you out. He mediates your encouragement. He mediates your endurance through His Word. You've heard me say before, we do not believe in a sermon a week keeps the devil away. If the only spiritual nourishment you get is on Sunday mornings, you are malnourished. You're in worse shape than those little children in Ethiopia and in third world countries whose bellies are swollen from malnourishment. Unless you are in the Word for yourself, then you are unhealthy. Paul praised the Bereans. Why? Because the Bereans did not take what Paul said at face value, but they searched the Scriptures for themselves. Be in the Word for yourself. Read what this Word says for yourself. The more Christ fills your spiritual vision, the greater the unity you will experience with your brothers in Christ. How much does Christ govern your focus each day? The more He governs your focus, the greater the unity you will have with your brothers in Christ. Yeah, there's going to be areas that we disagree on. My purpose in teaching Sunday school these last several weeks on the different eschatological viewpoints is not for everybody to have my view. But I want you to know why you have yours. I don't want you to have your view because somebody in the past taught you that view and you just think it's right. I don't want you to take my view because I taught you that view. I want you to have an eschatological viewpoint that you've studied the Scriptures on, and that you know it for yourself. Whether you land at Jesus coming back before the millennium or after the millennium, or that the millennium is running concurrent with human history, know it from here, not from what you've always been taught. In essentials, we have to agree. If you don't believe Jesus died on the cross, we're not brothers in Christ. If you don't believe that He rose the third day, we're not brothers in Christ. If you don't believe that He's coming again, we're not brothers in Christ. But the particulars of when and how he's coming again, we can disagree on. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And all things, charity. Paul's interest is the effect of unity on the worship of the people of God. Whether it was Rome, or Corinth, or Philippi, or the churches of Galatia, or Thessalonica, Paul's emphasis was always on unity. Because unity will affect worship. When worship is right, then witness is powerful. A lot of contemporary churches get backwards. They want to be a witness to the world. But they don't have a clue how to worship. When worship is right, then witness is powerful. Nadab and Abihu tried to worship. They offered strange fire, and it didn't bode very well for them. Ananias and Sapphira tried to control how they worshiped. It didn't bode well for them. They both dropped dead. So when worship is right, then witness is powerful. How do we take for sales? How do we take Ripley County? How do we take Indiana? How do we take the U.S.? How do we take the world? Through right worship. Jesus declared to the woman of the well, the day is coming when those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth. Guess what? Since the death, burial, and resurrection and the ascension, that day is now. Worship Him in spirit. Worship Him in truth. Love allelus. Love one another of the same kind. Love hetera. Love another of a different kind. And your witness will be powerful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before You. We thank You that You call us to be responsible people. Look out for one another. Lord, give us a holy concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are unable to grasp the ramifications, the application of the truth of the gospel in their lives. Lord, each of us knows folks who have surrendered to You, submitting to Your lordship, to Your kingship in confession and repentance. But they're not sure how to apply that daily. Give us a holy concern for those brothers and those sisters in Christ. Amen.